everybody. Ruby Ryder here from Pegging Paradise for your weekly question and answer podcast. First, I'd like to talk to any younger readers or listeners that are tuning in here, because I know y'all are cruising on the internet finding cool stuff. I suggest that you go to Scarlet Teen, where you can find all kinds of basic information about sex. I am a big proponent of learning the basic sex information before jumping into the varsity sex. Now, I don't mind you reading and listening here, but you know, you have to start off with the basic information. So go to Scarlet Teen first. When you got that down, maybe come back here. All right. Last week, one of my readers wrote in and was all excited about combining pegging with chastity, specifically chastity devices, as opposed to just delayed orgasms or denied orgasms. And I don't really have a whole lot of experience with chastity devices. Luckily, one of my readers wrote in with the name Tall, Light, Handsome, and left this marvelous comment on my website, and I'm just going to read it to you in case any of you are podcast listeners but don't bother going back and reading comments. Because he had all kinds of information about chastity, and I am so thankful that you wrote in, sir. So here we go. Great podcast. I'd love to throw in my two cents about combining chastity play with pegging. It's one of those amazing combinations like peanut butter and chocolate. Let me just enumerate some of the finer points. Pegging feels so much better when a guy has a full prostate. Abstaining from ejaculation for a week or so beforehand makes everything down there hypersensitive in the best possible way, so that even the slightest contact leaves a trace of warm, glowy pleasure. There are erotic pressure points on the body that, when compressed, generate a feeling of pleasure. These include the wrists, ankles, elbows, knees, and, you guessed it, around the base of the penis behind the balls. Many folks who enjoy bondage do so for the physical sensation of having these points stimulated. This may also be linked to a feeling of submission, but in many people it's just about physical pleasure. Among couples who practice non-BDSM pegging, you'll often see the man wearing a strap or band around the base of his penis. That band provides a sensation of tightness, security, or being held that feels amazing when combined with pegging. The sensation is heightened every time the man's body rocks with a thrust from his pegger. A chastity cage can provide this sensation. Next point. Bondage helps people let go. Many people, especially those in high-stakes jobs or positions of power, have trouble just letting go and letting things happen. They feel the need to always be in control, always worry about what's going on, and if it's right or optimal. Bondage can be incredibly liberating for those people. When tied to the bed, you don't have to worry about things like, am I doing this right, or does my partner like me or like my lovemaking, or is there something more important I need to attend to? When you're tied up, the answer to all of those questions is, there's nothing you can do about it, so you might as well relax and enjoy this. In fact, some people find it so beneficial that they don't even need sex when tied up. They find that being tied up and left there for a few hours works wonders on their mood and stress levels. Chastity play can offer this benefit and can even extend it over the course of days or weeks. For those compulsive masturbators among us, being locked up is very freeing. Instead of spending a lot of emotional energy trying to resist wanking for the 10th time in a day, we are free to go about our business knowing wanking is impossible with the cage on. For those who feel rejected and alone because they aren't getting sex, a cage helps them feel like sex isn't even an option, even if they were to get an offer, there is nothing to be ashamed of. His next point is, some people just enjoy submitting to someone else or being forced to submit to someone else. For those folks, it is fundamentally erotic to have someone else in control of them in a sexual way. This may have roots in courtly love, or it may just be a carryover from the intense feelings of infatuation felt during adolescence, when you feel like your world turns upside down every time that cute girl walks into the room and you realize she has some sort of sexual power over you and you like it. Folks in this category feel the most pleasure when someone compels them to do things by some sort of mental, emotional, or even physical way that overrides everything else. Just saying things like, "She made me," or "I had no choice," or "She wouldn't let me out of chastity unless I," are a turn-on for these people. People who don't have this turn-on can find this difficult to understand, but that's just how subs are wired. Next point. For some, it's all about the romance. The device serves as an hourly reminder that your heart and body belong to your true love. Every jiggle caused by walking, not to mention the actual erections, reminds the man of who holds his key and his heart. The chastity cage and chastity key worn on the necklace of the key holder are analogous to promise rings or charms. And the next one, desire is pleasure. For some, the feeling of wanting, of hoping, of lusting is pleasure. It's the thrill of the chase. You often hear that the journey is better than the destination. This is the principle behind the age-old striptease that many women use so well to hype guys up to these incredible sexual highs. As soon as orgasm arrives, the fun is over. The longer you can prolong the pre-orgasm glow, the more pleasure you experience. This aspect of chastity play is often called tease and denial. Edging is also related, where you bring the man to the brink of orgasm over and over without letting him come. And then the next one. For some, chastity is purely practical. It may be used to curb a masturbation habit or to help a cheating husband redirect his unruly passions. Some use it as a motivator to lose weight, do better in sports, study for exams, or strive for a promotion at work. For some, it may be a gateway to help a partner open up to other activities like pegging. For just about everyone I have spoken with, chastity play involves some combination of these things. In fact, it is often a very dynamic feedback loop as these different aspects of chastity flash in and out of the minds of the players. So there you have a quick rundown of some of the motivations and benefits of chastity play. That is such a wonderful wealth of information, tall, light, handsome. So appreciate all of that, and it was really eye-opening. I read it with fascination because I never really got the finer points of what chastity play can be about. And what I heard with interest, of course, since I'm doing the pegging thing, is that abstinence beforehand, or abstaining for a week or two beforehand before pegging, makes everything much more pleasurable. That is one piece of information I am going to pass on to everyone when they ask for the newbie information about, do you have any hints on how to make this feel better? And it's also something I'm actually going to include in my class at the end of this week on the 28th, which I'm going to talk about at the end of this podcast. Okay, so here's my next thing I want to talk about. A little while ago, I posted a rant about how men approach me, but not just me, other women as well, on dating sites, and specifically FetLife.com. I had just had so many of these kinds of messages sent to me that I just felt like I had to let out a little frustration here. So first I'm going to read you the rant. What is with the men who want to bypass any semblance of a profile, have absolutely no information about themselves, and maybe just one photo of a body part, no fetish list, no list of adjectives they would describe themselves with, no history of how they got interested in kink, how long have they practiced kink, what especially they like about kink, nothing. No vanilla interests, nothing about what they're looking for or what they are not even a marital status. And then these same guys send an introductory letter, only it really is no such thing. It's just a few words, like 10 or so. No more information, no offer of pictures, just some sort of simple desire expressed in a few words. Sometimes crude, sometimes not. I write back with a what the fuck sort of message, and they respond claiming it's because they're a professional and need to be anonymous and private. It's not black and white, guys, no matter how much you try and make it out to be that way. You can actually maintain anonymity and still have a pretty decent profile. So stop using anonymity as the justification for having a shitty-ass non-existent profile. Take the time and actually create a profile that would interest a woman, assuming that's what you're here to do. Because here's what I don't get. If your profile is non-existent, what the fuck do you expect women to be interested in? The one picture? The 10 words? Are you fucking delusional? I'm glad I wrote this, because now I'm just going to give them the link to this rant. Phew, thanks for listening. We now return you to your regularly scheduled broadcasting. So, obviously, I was in a mood when I wrote that. It was a lot of fun to write. And here is what I got. It was pretty funny, because one of the comments posted to that piece of writing on FetLife linked me to a slideshow by this wonderful lady named Cunning Minx. Now, there's a lot of things to know about Cunning Minx, but specifically let's talk about the slideshow first. She made this marvelous slideshow called How Not to Be a Douche on FetLife. And it really kind of tells you how to approach people, how to do your profile. And I have to say, you know, she is actually a lot more patient than I am in terms of responding to people. You'll see when you see the slideshow. And actually, I wanted to let you know, I've posted a link below the download link for this podcast on my website. There will be a link to this slideshow, so check it out. Because when she talks about, you know, actually trying to take the time to educate people a little bit when they do that, and be blunt with them and try and sort of improve our community there, let them know that really that's not the way to approach people. So I might just cut and paste, I swear, Minx, I might. So here's some other really interesting things about Cunning Minx. She does a podcast about polyamory. The website is polyweekly.com, and she's been doing that since April of 2005. I took a listen to a few of them, and it's amazingly intelligent and honest conversations about polyamory and open relationships. Let me give you a little flavor of this. It's awesome. The intro for this podcast says, "This is Polyamory Weekly, tales from the front of responsible non-monogamy from a pansexual, kink-friendly point of view. A warning for our under 18 listeners, this is an adult-oriented podcast about really lascivious things like communication and honesty in relationships. If you are under 18," and then they get redirected to Scarlet Teen. I love that sense of play, that sense of humor, and I find anywhere on the internet, anybody, anywhere, you know, in person, on the internet, television, of course, that hasn't happened yet, talking about relationships and sexuality in an intelligent, non-judgmental, and responsible way. I'm fascinated. So, and I have no idea if polyamory is for me. I'm single, and all I know is everything I've tried so far hasn't worked. So I'm interested and fascinated just because here are some people talking about really responsible handling of relationships with excellent communication. It's awesome. I am a little peeved at my spell checker that I had to add polyamory to the dictionary. That was a little bit ridiculous. Okay, here's some more stuff. Do you play with people online too? That's my next question. Nope, I don't. I am way too touch-oriented to enjoy online play. And that is the simple answer to that question. Not interested in cam play. Not even really interested in a whole lot of one-on-one chat. You've got to be something pretty special to interest me in that. Because I'm a busy woman. And I always really recommend that people get to know people in real life. And that's my deal. I mean, since I'm so touch-oriented, real life makes a whole lot more sense to me. So long-distance connections are not my first choice, ever. Every once in a while, someone extraordinary presents themselves, and I might explore it. But, yeah, I don't do anything online. Let's see, here's another question. On pegging, I want to prep myself. As I am very tight, one finger is tough to take. I'm a sissy boy seeking advice and appreciate your website and all you do for us. Okay, as far as sort of preparing yourself for pegging, here is what I would recommend. First, you're going to want to go out and get some butt plugs. And there's a whole variety of butt plugs to choose from. The most important thing to do is to get ones that are specifically made for butt plugs. And what that means is that they have a flared base so that it cannot get lost inside you. You do not want to have that trip to the emergency room and have them fetching some toy that wasn't made for your ass out of your ass, because absolutely it can and has happened. So you want one with a wider base that prevents it from going all the way inside you. Of course, you're going to start off smaller and get larger as your body gets used to it. What I would recommend is put one in and wear it around the house for a while. One of the ones that if you have lots of money to spend and you want a luxurious, amazing butt plug is Enjoy. N like the letter, Joy, Enjoy. They make 100% stainless steel butt plugs. And that sounds odd, you know, but the weight of them is absolutely delicious. They are really, really nice. So those are highly recommended. Tantus makes some great butt plugs. Vixen Creations makes some. Just make sure you get 100% silicone. So you can wear it around the house for a while, and, you know, periods of time. You can wear it when you're masturbating. And just practice using those and gradually increase the size. And that would be how to prep yourself and eventually get a little bit looser. Here's what happens with the structure of the sphincters and your anal region. There's two concentric rings of muscle. One is voluntary muscle and one is involuntary muscle. So the outer sphincter of your anus is voluntary muscle. So the inside one is the one that is smooth muscle and it's involuntary. So that doesn't apply to the exercise it and it works better, okay? The smooth muscle is very elastic, but it has limits. So basically what you're doing when you're putting toys in there larger and larger is that you're stretching it out and you're causing little teeny tiny micro tears. Now don't freak out about this, because actually those tears can happen even just with a very large bowel movement if you've been constipated. So it's not anything huge, as long as you're not forcing. And as soon as it hurts, you stop and you back off. So, and I have to, as an aside, say, I got a wealth of information written to me in comment form by a reader who was quite obviously a professional. I'm not sure what kind of professional, whether he was an emergency room doctor or a proctologist specifically or something like that, and I kind of fished a little bit, but obviously he was not in the mood for divulging his anonymity or his who he was. So, but he did write me this huge thing about exactly how this works. I looked long and hard on the internet because inevitably with pegging you get the question, is it safe? You know, am I going to ruin my ass forever? You know, am I going to become incontinent when I'm older? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I looked and looked and looked, and all I've ever really found online anyway, not having read all the books, but I found something online by Violet Blue. And she actually had said, you know, it's like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the better. So, you know, it'll actually work better if you're exercising a little bit. And, of course, take into consideration here, I'm not saying that there's no limitations. And, of course, Violet Blue didn't say that either. There are always limitations. You don't want to put something huge in there, and you don't want to shove it in quickly with no lubrication. You don't want to put sharp things in there. These are all common sense. But she did sort of give the impression that the more you use this muscle, the better it's going to function, and these myths of incontinence are just that, myths. Well, the myths of incontinence are definitely just myths. The structure is a little bit different than she said, but what this man told me, you know, it's funny. I'm assuming he's a man, and I really have no idea whether he's a man or not. He did say a few things in this comment section that made me think he was male, but that's beside the point. He gave me all this information, and the gist of it is that, yes, it's okay to do this. It's not okay to do it too much, too big, too fast, too hard, things like this. But the structure and the physiology all around it was very, very interesting. So I'm in the process of writing up these notes. He gave me permission to post them on my website as well as on Reddit. And I'll have those both posted probably within the next couple of weeks is what I'm hoping. But for now, since I got this question from this listener, you're not going to hurt anything if you stretch that interior muscle. It will cause little micro tears, but again, you know, the incontinence is only going to happen if you have such a bad diet that your bowel movements are always liquid. Because even if this interior sphincter gets stretched and no longer effectively holds back your bowel movements, the outer sphincter and the surrounding musculature is so powerful and works so well together that it will hold everything in just fine. So that's it. And I think the best reassuring part of all this is that he said, the amount of damage that you're going to do if you're reasonable with this activity is no more than probably most people have already had done with these little micro tears, like he said, by a bad episode of incontinence. Constipation. So, you know, it all, technically, is there damage? Yeah. Is it going to be a problem? No. So that's the answer to that. Practice and gradually increase in size. No one's really written me and asked about fisting and things like that, and I know people who do it all the time and don't seem to have a problem with it. It still kind of blows me away. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to the point to try that with some guy. I have no interest in someone trying it on me. Right now, you know, things change. And then let me mention, this is going to be kind of a quick podcast. We're almost through here, but I wanted to mention a few more things. One is that I am almost done with an article about double-ended dildos. Got really into that and researched all kinds of things, and I'm really excited about it. That seems to be the direction that a lot of people are moving these days in terms of equipment. Now, needless to say, there's all kinds of lovely dildos out there with flared bases. But combining the double-ended dildos with a compatible harness seems to provide not just more potential pleasure, but it also seems to provide this lovely connection between the pegger and the peggy that's really not nearly as pronounced when you use a flared base dildo. In fact, I'm going to read you something else that was a comment on a thread in Reddit. You're talking about some kind of equipment, and I actually came out with the information that, you know, double-ended dildos. Did I have one? Oh my God, Ruby Ryder, queen of begging, does not own a double-ended dildo yet. Let me emphasize the yet. And this person was pretty amazed to find that out. And I said, yes, this is my next purchase, definitely. I have tried one once, and it was a very disappointing experience because I got pulled in by the lure of these lovely double-ended dildos. I mean, is there anything more beautiful than a woman who is wearing one who without a harness? I mean, it's a gorgeous sight. It really is, with this lovely silicone dildo sticking out of her. It's just amazing. And the idea of having mutual pleasure and it being something that could give me pleasure as well seemed like a great idea, and it was just nothing but frustration. It was absolutely ridiculous trying it out. I believe it was a Fieldo, and so I haven't tried it again. But I tell you, on the threads everywhere and the boards and everybody talking about pegging, I get an example more and more of people who do this. Here's what this person said. You and your website were very helpful in my girlfriend and my own dive into pegging. You answered some questions by both of us, and the information on your site helped me to bring up the subject with her. Your work is great, and you should be sainted. I didn't mean to read that online. Okay, here's the good part. As far as the share, okay, now I have to insert here that the share is actually a name of a double-ended dildo. It's made by the Fun Factory, and it comes in three different sizes. Extra small, the classic, the regular one, and then the extra small, the regular one, and then the extra large. Okay, so, as far as the share, my girlfriend is simply in love with it. I brought the kink up to her, and she had never heard of it, but I showed her your site, explained I'm not gay, and we haven't really looked back since. The G-spot stimulation that it provides for her really allows us to feel connected. We started with the share and have since bought several other types of dildos, only to always fall back to the share. Its silicone is firm enough, but still soft. Our only complaint is the lack of a vibrating option, which we overcame with a Wii Vibe. It makes the entire dildo vibrate so much that I can even feel it on my prostate. I highly recommend the combination. Simultaneous orgasms have become pretty commonplace. Awesome. So I wanted to read that because, you know, I'm hearing this more and more, and the combination with the Wii Vibe sounds pretty awesome. If you, wow, that's an interesting Freudian slip. I meant to say if you Google Wii Vibe, but if you dildo Wii Vibe, guess that's what this couple did. Okay, if you Google Wii Vibe, you'll see that it's a U-shaped toy that vibrates and is meant to put pressure on your clit as well as on your G-spot. So I guess this couple found a way to combine that with their shared dildo, and it's working like gangbusters for them. Okay, I have one more thing to read to you on this subject, and this is actually the thing that I had hoped to find earlier when I was talking about the connection is better, that actually the woman has a more direct sensory feedback when you're using these double-ended dildos. I had mentioned that the vast majority of women are unable to keep in double-ended dildos without a harness. And here is this man's comment. I have to agree with your sentiments. My girlfriend has pretty strong Kegel muscles, and there is absolutely no way she could hold this during sex. It just takes way too much pressure and specific control, especially during the initial insertion, to be possible. And how we like to change positions and try new things, the harness just makes it super easy. However, the Fieldo is still better than a regular dildo, if you ask me. She can actually feel herself fucking me. She can feel if she slips out when fucking me hard. She can feel if she is pressing up against my P-spot. Just to have that connection to her body makes the fucking so much better than it ever was. Wow. I was quite grateful to get that little piece of writing. You know, some of what I do, you guys, is I cruise around and I talk to people everywhere, and I pick out these little gems of writing that you offer me, and I'm so grateful for these, because it's people that are able to put things into words and that are so willing to share this stuff with me that helps us all learn. So, of course, now I'm, like, drooling for the double-ended dildo. Of course, I'm drooling for the double-ended dildo and someone to use it on, and don't everybody write me and say, yeah, here's my ass, fuck me. That's not how to do it. Remember the first part of the podcast and about approaching someone and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, double-ended dildos rock, and I've got some information for you in my post I'm going to have up pretty soon, and I hope you enjoy it. So, you know, go take a look at that How Not to Be a Douche on FetLife, the slideshow. That's awesome. And check out polyweekly.com. If you have any interest in that, I just a couple of ones I listened to, I really enjoyed. The other podcast I listen to pretty regularly is Dan Savage, his Savage Love, and you know, his TV show, Savage U, which stands for Savage University on MTV. Hysterical. Oh, I love that show. I wish it was an hour. That's what everybody is saying. Really wish it was an hour. These kids are learning so much about sex and good stuff. He's got such great advice. Okay, so I have a couple of classes coming up this weekend. And as you probably recall, they were rescheduled from the 14th, and now they're on the 28th. They're at a store in Ventura called the Kama Sutra Closet in Ventura, California. And I'll be teaching a beginning class and an advanced class. And there is so much we have to talk about. And I've actually got a friend of mine coming in who's going to help display the positions. I have to say, that's one of the things in all the classes I've taught that I had to laugh about once I realized what was happening. Because I talk about all these positions and which ones are good for which things. And I would just watch people's faces go fuzzy, and then inevitably they'll come up after the class and say, so what's that position that's good for this and this? So what I do now is I find someone, to display the positions with me. So we're certainly still going to be clothed. There are no live demonstrations for this class, for either one of the classes, but we will be rolling around the floor a bit and showing you different positions that you can use for pegging so that the visual will hopefully stick in your head. The space in the class is filling up, so if you are thinking about going to this class, please click on the correct links that lead you through it, and it goes to the Kama Sutra Closet website, and you reserve a spot there. You pay for it and reserve your place, because it is filling up, so I wouldn't want any of you to wait until the last minute and then try and click in there and there's no room left. It is limited space. You know, maybe we get enough people next time, we'll have a larger venue. Okay, I guess that's it. And I hope you all have a lovely week. I'll be back at you next week. This is Ruby Ryder, Pagan Paradise.